Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Well, who of us haven't at one time or another used a help desk? I think, has anybody here not used a help desk?
So I recall that our relationship started on a help desk.
That's right. Exactly. That's how the Internet Advisor began. I had some problems with my link to the Internet back in 1998 when I was doing the weekend show here.
And it was not your ISP, but we helped you.
Right. Exactly. So I called in and I was having a terrible time, I think, connecting to the Internet or staying connected Staying connected. In any case, we found it was a squirrel that had chewed off the lining on the cable binder.
Coming from the pole to the house.
But in any case, so our relationship, Gary, yours and mine, began with a help desk. Have you guys, now you are essentially, Cal and Ed, you are the help desk, right?
Well, you could consider us like second or third level help desk because we're very specialized in what
That's
we
right.
do.
You help the executives at GM in your position. But you are essentially troubleshooting for them, right, Cal?
Yeah. We're like, normally you would call into a help desk and someone would answer the phone. They would gather your request or whatever problem you had going on, and then they try and resolve it. If they couldn't resolve it, they move it up to the second level people. And if that people can't do it to the third level, me and Ed hang out somewhere up in three.
You're in the upper atmospheres there.
When nobody else can solve it, they call in the experts.
And we're the feet on the ground, basically. Because there's only so much you could do at the help desk. You're going to have to dispatch that ticket, sometimes two people on the ground.
And literally walking
and
in.
And we are the people that are on the ground that tailor specifically just for the executives because, we can walk the walk and talk the talk.
And that's how Ed and I met. Was because of that relationship. So.
No, that's right. That's right. That's exactly how you met.
Exactly.
Well, my grandson, Tony Stack, is in here. Tony, move up to that microphone there just to say hello. Tony, tell people a little bit about your background and what you hope to get involved in.
Well, for me personally, I went to Oakland Community College, and I just graduated over last summer with an associate's in computer supports. Mm-hmm. I also have just been trying at this point to get my foot in the door. And just trying to do as many interviews as possible, trying a little bit on my own time to do some research and such, and just gather as much information as possible so that I'm prepared when the opportunity comes for me.
And you work as a family help desk person, don't
Pretty
you?
Pretty much, yep. I help anybody out in the family or anybody that comes to me that needs help. I'm happy to help and just... It's experience of what I need. So,
as a matter of fact, Cal, over the Christmas break, he was helping his one of his twin sisters, to get her new iPad. Hooked up. I mean, she had an iPad 4 that she was getting.
Just amazing, you know. And it's just part of the nature of our world nowadays. You know, all of our technology. I mean, not just computers and iPads, stuff like that. Even I called a help desk for my refrigerator last week during the holiday break because I was trying to do an adjustment on the freezer and I wasn't quite clear about what was going on after I read over the instructions and called them up and they. Took me through it. It was really cool.
Have you, go ahead. I was going to ask you if you've called help desks other than maybe computer help desks.
No, I avoid them like the plague. I really do. Unless I really have to, like if I have to call Dell or HP because of a broken LCD, who hasn't called their cellular provider help desk when you're having difficulties. But most people that actually, like your grandson, we thrive on trying to solve problems. Mm-hmm. As Tony does, and you learn so much by every time you interact with a family member or a family member friend because you get their perspective and you learn their vocabulary and how they're describing things, and you have to translate that in your own mind to what you've learned and what you know the real, what's really happening inside of a computer or what's really happening with the software or the hardware. You have to translate that because they use such vague terms.
Thingamajig and whatchamacallit that sort of thing.
Yeah. When they say power off, they may not even realize they're not even powering off that computer. So you have to understand that when they say something, it could have five or six different meanings. And so sometimes you have to break that down.
So you spend a fair amount of time then when you're on a help desk call trying to understand what the question is. And any of you, by the way, who listen to our program on a regular basis, really know that our second hour normally is our help desk. That's when, since Gary and I developed the program initially on the basis of a help desk, we try to make that second hour the one where people can call in with their questions.
Right. And half the success of a help desk is based upon your ability to garner the information from the person on the other end to be able to solve the problem. And a lot of times you'll find that you have to separate the madness from the problem. You know, they may be all wound up about something because during the time that they call you, they never call you when it's like a nice casual time to having a cup of coffee and say, oh, by the way, I wasn't doing anything. I figured I'd call the help desk. No, they'll always call you when they're in a crunch. They're trying to get something done.
I can't get to my email. Yeah. I know there's an important email waiting for me.
So they've got that pressure on top of them, and then they're all frustrated because the machine's not working, and then they're talking to you. And so you have to cipher through all that other madness to get down to where the problem is.
Wow. It almost seems like you need to be a kind of a psychiatrist, Gary, in order to be able to handle it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's it, because they've tried and tried and tried. They're frustrated by this, the time they call the help desk. And it's very tough to be somebody really good on the help desk, on the service that we call them service desk today because they provide service, and it's more rich than the old-fashioned help desk. But it really does take a little bit. You have to have either thick skin or be able to separate, like Cal said, that the emotion away from what you're really trying to do. And you're trying to help them, right?
And
you're sincerely trying to help.
As we were coming in, you were talking about some extra learning that you were seminar that you went to, or that you were in.
It was an e-learning course e-learning that's required. Course. And I'm like, what type of communication class should I take? And I took it on the help desk, and it really broke down about the help desk personnel, as Cal was saying, how to separate yourself from the emotion and to what the actual problem is. And then sometimes, as a help desk personnel, you have to, the people on the other line can be quite abusive. Mm. And so you have to actually give them sometimes verbal warning, like, I'm sorry, sir, but or madam, if you don't calm down at this point, I will have to sever this phone call.
Yeah.
The abusive language you're using is not appropriate. I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
And if they continue, sometimes you're like, this is your last warning.
Have you ever had to do that?
Once.
Once? How about you, Cal?
Oh, I've had a couple of times. Matter of fact, I've had a time where we had a caller that was somewhat abusive on a regular basis, and I ended up making a site visit to that person out of state. And it was really quite fun, because once I was there, the whole demeanor changed.
They have to look up to you.
Oh my gosh!
Right.
If you guys
there
don't
know, a few people that are taller than you are.
Well, so. I am going to say that the gentleman that I did go to see was more of a Napoleonic stature.
Chip on the old shoulder type of thing.
But isn't it true? It's kind of like
small.
It's kind of like trolls on the internet that people feel with invisible. You know, that people don't see them.
But it's so much the opposite, because if you read some of the service desk tickets and how it was resolved and what they say, and by the way, that stays with them. So the next time they call, whoever takes that call will find out they were abusive last time, that they were very, and so many times, you know, you'll see, you'll see picnic, right?
Picnic?
Yeah, it's problem in chair, not in computer, right?
That is the first time I've ever heard that.
Oh, really? I've seen it a lot.
I've seen picnic.
Yeah, this is.
I've seen. ID.T.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. ID.T.
And
what's that? Idiot.
Oh,
ID10T or something.
My favorite expression had always been, the short begins between the cheer and the keyboard.
Yeah.
That's it.
but you know, when people are abusive to people that are trying to help, weren't there the whole time while they were getting frustrated, and that frustration was building, but it stays on their record in the help desk.
Wow.
And if you're abusive, boy, everybody that is in that service desk will know that, and you'll get quite a reputation.
Right. Wow. But the other thing is that information is there. So if you have had recurring problems, sir, I see that you called last week on a very similar issue. Is this the same problem you're experiencing? So there's a record of what's going on, and which is good.
And are you going to abuse me like you did last week?
Well, I wasn't talking about abusive customer.
I'm just
teasing. We don't always put nasty notes in there. We put good information
notes. Yeah, right.
The biggest part is that you just have to have really good people skills when you're working on a help desk, and be able to work with people and
That's
understand
right.
and,
exactly.
and deal with them.
Well, we'll come back and continue this conversation on the help desk here on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Edward L. Cal Carson in studio here, and a personal guest of mine here, my grandson, Tony Stack, is in studio here. And we're talking with these guys about help desks. And as Gary mentioned before, kind of, I had not really thought of it, but our relationship began 18 years ago.
Right, more
with
than
the
that.
With the help desk call.
Yep, that's right.
And when I was doing the weekend program here and had a problem with my internet connection, called up BizServe.
Online Tech.
BizServe
was a product, yep.
And Gary helped me out there. And since then, of course, we have two of our favorite techs here. And I really kind of think this is the unique thing that we have offered with our program over the years, was this connection to kind of a live help desk with people like Ed Rudell and mm-hmm. Cal Carson, Shane Hamlin, and some of the other people who are in here. And when you folks call in or send your email in, it's the unique experience of you're dealing with some people who are very high level help desk kind of people.
Yeah, except for our listeners usually are much nicer.
is true. Just this week you were talking about having answered some questions and getting back some results.
You know, so few
people
times.
People are so thankful.
So few times I actually get a response back that says, oh, this actually solved the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 25%, 20-25%. Yeah. I'll actually say that worked. Thank you so much. Like the last one was, you know, they were experiencing a problem with wireless and we went through several things. And then I mentioned to them, did you happen to, you know, purchase or do you have like baby monitors in your house, cordless phones, or this or that? And then I talked about drivers, and she's like, oh my goodness, we just got a new baby monitor. You really and come to think of it, and the way she wrote this was just excellent.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, that's when our wireless started messing up.
You really think
it could be the baby monitor?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I see Anthony over there nodding his head, because he knows.
Yeah, and the solution to that in many ways are the new wireless
routers.
Well,
so get rid of the baby monitor. No.
Throw the monitor out with the baby?
Yes. No.
That's where I was going.
The new wireless routers now have usually two kind of bands, the 2.5 gigahertz and the 5 gigahertz, right?
I was going to say rock and country, yeah. But okay.
It's all an adventure getting in touch with this disc.
That was Cal hitting the cymbals. We're in Mitch Album's studio, so we have a drum set right behind
us. Who knows what's going to happen here next?
Who knows?
But isn't it true that if you have those two bands,
yes,
you can switch to the 5 gigahertz band?
You have to have a device, a laptop device.
Megahertz. But
that will support the 5 gigahertz or 5.4 gigahertz frequency range. What I was surprised to find is that my 2-year-old Dell XPS does not support the 5.4 gigahertz. My son's 4-year-old Sony Lenovo does.
Mm.
So, you know, you what you're paying for, when he bought a top-of-the-line laptop, he bought a top-of-the-line laptop. And that's it. His wireless card supported both bands 4 years ago.
Cal, what were some of the lessons that you learned as you were going through working on a help desk? We've kind of kidded about some of them, but some of the some of your favorite stories, war stories, as you've gone through.
I don't even know if I could even tell any of them without exposing some poor guy. But
you, actually, probably the majority of people are very nice and very thankful that you solved their problem,
the
right?
The huge bulk of people are pleasurable to work with.
Yep.
And they are very appreciative when you can resolve it, especially if you can resolve it on the first call.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an incident where I fixed a lady's computer, and she was in another state, and finished it and everything like that. And she worked for a company that supplemented the company I was working for at the time. And 3 weeks later, I get a box in the mail, and it has all the things, it had an assortment of things from that Cincinnati area. It was Cincinnati chili.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, she looked you up. So she had the ability to look you up and find out where you reside.
And she was very, very appreciative of me helping her out, because she was in a tight spot. And it just showed up. You know, and I really can't take this. She goes, no, you have to, that sort of thing. So I got the proper clearance and everything like that. But, it, you know, it's little things like that. I don't do help desk to get the perks. Yes, I do. But I mean, when those sort of things do happen, it's a great thing that happens. But like Gary said, the large majority of people are very nice to work with, very appreciative of what you do for them. And then you learn to exercise your people skills and your patience with the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, one of the things, when people call our show, it is a unique kind of a trouble call. because you have less time with them, really, than you probably have, you know, working a help desk, where you could be on the line for what? What's an average call going to take you online?
Well, that's kind of hard for me and Ed.
Yes, right, because you're at a different level.
In the spot we're at, we have to do quick resolution for obvious reasons.
And we're feet on the ground. But other help desks, you know, 5 minutes, they want you, you know, when you call, if you're entry-level help desk, they want you to gather all the information. You may not be able to resolve it, and then they dispatch it to maybe another level.
So, Tony, don't feel too bad if you can't solve it right away, but know what the next step is, right?
Right. So he may be, when he joins up, he may start at the dispatch area where he just gathers the information and then shuffles it to the other organization.
Right.
And then he'll move on to be a specialist later on. It really depends.
And, you know, you'll get different metrics, right? So first-time resolution is one of the metrics. So they track that, and they say, okay, first-time resolution is going up. That means you solve them on the first time, but you might take a little longer. So your total time on the phone, including wrap-up time, you know, writing the final notes and going on the next call, might be going up as well, and you want that to go down. So they're competing metrics, and it's a kind of a trick to manage a help
desk. What's the object then, just of handling a call? What's the object of handling a help call? Well, obviously, they help somebody.
Yeah, and if you can resolve it on the first time, the customer satisfaction goes way up.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to also, by the way, answer the phone, right? Average speed to answer, right? And you can't have a really quick average speed to answer if you're on the phone for a long time. So that is diametrically opposed to first call resolution, right? So it's just kind of interesting, the dynamics, and sometimes you're drifting one way and sometimes you're drifting another. And that's why you get a lot of times, if they took more time, they might be able to go through all of the different options. But a lot of times they just don't have the time to be able to do that because somebody else is waiting on hold.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is that every help desk you call right now, the first 3 to 5 minutes is taken up with, I'm sorry, could you confirm your name? What's the serial number of your device? What's a callback number? Can you give me your name? What's the your username, your email address in case we have to email you? And they have to confirm if you're already into the system, into their database, they have to confirm a lot of information. And that takes time
the first time you approach
every time you call, they have to confirm that information.
They have to confirm that it's you, right?
Unfortunately, that can become quite monotonous.
Is it for legal purposes too, Cal? As well as
probably more warranty than anything else.
Oh, I got you.
You know, or else they're going to have to say, "Well, we'll have to transfer you to our other department." Well, they'll take your credit card number and then assign you a ticket where you can actually spend the time with that help desk representative because you're paying for the support.
Yeah. Mm. Mm.
That's a particular thing. And then the other thing that a lot of people have to remember, too, is because we live in a 24-hour world, people expect help desk support 24 hours a day in some cases. Because of that, a lot of times help desks are on what they call follow the sun. So for right now, the help desk is here in the United States because we're doing normal business hours. You call 3 hours later, it might be, in Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. You call 18 hours later, it might be in, Malaysia.
It could be Malaysia or Africa. It could be in
Ireland.
Australia. Ireland is really big.
Yep. Oh, Ireland's big, huh?
Yes. Yeah. So that's the reason why one day you may call up and some guy answers the phone and say, "Howdy, y'all. How can I help you?" And he's down in Dallas. And then the next time you call, he says, "Hey, very good to help you." And, now he's in Bangladesh.
I don't know if it's terrible prejudice on my part, but when I hear somebody speaking with an accent that says that they're a native-born English speaker, I feel much more comfortable that they're going to understand me. I don't know that that's necessarily the case, I have that feeling.
Half of the technique that you notice they use when you get a help desk that is not of your native tongue. They'll say, "Hi, my name is Prakash, but you can call me Bob," because they want you to feel comfortable
or sometimes
talking
they say,
to Bob.
"Hello, my name is Fred."
Yeah.
No, it's not. Stop that.
But what's interesting is, so there's an automatic, for a lot of people, there's an automatic, they're not going to understand me. And there's some validity to the fact that because they haven't grown up in our culture, they might not understand our culture and some of the slang and some of that. However, in some of those areas, you have to be way more qualified to be on the help desk than you would be here in the United States, where we're looking for people that are entry level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people that that are on the help desk in other countries that have, you know, advanced degrees, some of them.
Yeah. Right? Guys, I'm going to flip this, the equation around again for just a moment when we come back. And I want you to pursue this from the caller's point of view. What are the most important things for the caller to get across to the help desk? You know, we've been talking about help desks and how that's a unique feature of the Internet Advisor has been for, well, we're going on 20 years eventually here, in our 18th year right now with Gary Baker and myself and our tech experts, Ed Rudell and Cal Carson and Stu here.
18 years ago, the Internet, the modems ran on a little treadle that you had to press under the table.
That was about it at the time. But that's been kind of the secret sauce for us, that we've been available to answer questions. And right. when you listen in to the programs that are on, whether the blogs or other things, they're interviewing interesting people. Like, for instance, in our next hour, Rick Bright is coming in, and we're going to be talking with him about his time at CES, the Consumer Electronics Society, show. And then we're also going to be talking with somebody from the Detroit Dealers Association about the North American International Auto Show with a really big shoe.
Their mobile app.
All right, their mobile app. So normally our second hour is the one where we act as a help desk, and Ed and Cal and Gary and whoever else happens to be on our tech staff is here. You call in, we give you answers the best we can to the problems you're facing. And then during the week, people will email us through our website. You go to internetadvisor.net and click on that contact button on the top, and you can send us an email with your questions, okay? Now, this week, because of the change in programming we have, in the second hour, Rick is going to be in, and we'll be kind of plumbing what he's experienced at CES and about the North American International Auto Show. So we're not going to have a chance to do that this week live on WJR. So I thought what we'd talk about is about help desks in general. And guys, one of the things, you know, if you could give a tip, Ed, to our listeners about something they could do to help them get the most out of a help desk call, what are some things you would tell them to make sure you do this?
Let's see. Well, have all the information available when you go in there. So if you're dealing with laptops and computers, have your serial numbers ready, and write out what you want to accomplish on this call. Beforehand, just so you make sure if you had any specific questions that you tackle them. Because sometimes when you call, they could say, "Oh, you know what? Could you?" When you call Dell, you can say, could you send me out a USB stick with Windows 7 pre-installed in it? Because I seem to have lost mine. And a lot of times they'll just send it out for you, you know, while you're on the help desk with them.
Okay.
So if you have any additional questions, write them out.
Okay. So write out your question. Cal, what do you think? To help the listener when they're calling a help desk.
First of all, write down any and all errors you see on the screen if it creates those sort of things as best as you can. Just like Ed said, have all the information that you think they may need, serial numbers, receipts, purchase dates, all that craziness, sitting right next to the phone. And the other thing is to stop, take a deep breath, and then call. And don't call when you're all wound up. If you're all wound up, it's not going to get anything done because you're going to have to cipher through all that yelling and stuff like that. And that's a few minutes of craziness that you could have spent getting the problem solved.
Good point.
So just kind of calm down, relax. And then make the call, and then do it that way. That way you'll be more receptive, and it'll be easier to get that information back and forth.
I'd say make sure you listen, because a lot of times what happens is they're trying to do something on their computer, and they're not hearing what the analyst, the help desk person is trying to tell them, and you have to repeat yourself a number of times sometimes. So
that's it, because if you don't understand what the help desk person is telling you,
ask
because a lot of times we'll use terminology and the person we don't mean to because we say it every day to all of our colleagues, and when we talk to the end user, the person that's calling in for help, we'll use terminology and they'll just nod their head and say, okay, I got it, and then they lost it.
Make sure you understand what that person is saying to you. And if you're not understanding, as they said, ask.
You know, one thing that I think also is if you tell the service desk analyst, I'm a novice, I'm an intermediate, I'm pretty advanced, and I've tried a lot of things. Here's what I've tried. Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 boom. So, okay, let's go to the fifth option, right? Because usually we start with the easiest, check this, check that, check, okay, they've already done that. So then now we're down to, you know, tougher options to sort through. So
and Gary brings up a good point, is one of the first things you have to do when you're a help desk person, let the customer speak. Let them speak through the thing.
That's right.
That only not only allows them to get it out of their system if they're worked up, but they're able to explain the entire problem, what steps they've taken. A lot of times us as help desk people, we can then quickly assess the technical ability of that person, plus also document the problems that the person and what steps they've done, so we don't have to rehash, you know, like, did you try turning it back off and on again? Well, they said that in the conversation. Don't ignore when the that's the worst thing that happens is like when if me and I've asked that person to turn it on and off and they said, weren't you listening? I told you I restarted off and on several times. That doesn't seem to resolve the issue.
Yeah, right.
So. This way you can skip those steps, like Gary said, and go to step five.
Mm. One of the things I think that you mentioned is very important, and I was on an Apple, matter of fact, Apple.com help area with a problem that I have with my MacBook. And one of the things that they give you as like tips for how to present your question is to tell the steps that you've taken. So yeah. People know that you've done this, 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 and this, and they don't waste the time while saying, well, why don't you do this? And that only frustrates you more because you've already done that kind of thing.
Now, one other thing, and Gary and I were talking about this at the break, is if you're talking to a help desk that you know is a reputable help desk and they're doing work for you, you can always ask them if you feel uncomfortable with what they're talking about or what they want you to do, can they remotely connect to your machine?
Mm.
And then they can take control and do those things. You can watch them as they do it. And that way, you know, if you're uncomfortable with, you know, doing this or doing that, they can do it for you.
Yep.
Now, if they call you, don't ever do that. But if you're calling
Excuse me, let's repeat that again, Gary, because it's very important.
But just because if they're calling you, first of all, the help desk doesn't call you.
Right.
Right? So it's only a scammer that does that. And they
or somebody sends you an email and offers to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, no. Don't do that. Mm-mm. But if you're proactive and you're calling the service desk, if you're... You give permission, mm-hmm. and they'll say, this is how you can stop it. Mm-hmm. Almost all the service desks today, they'll say, if you feel uncomfortable, this is the red X, just click on that, and it'll go away. Right.
Now, there is one time when they can call you, and you're okay with that, with them letting them do that, and that is if you initiated the call originally, and you know that the person's calling back from the help desk. Yeah. If you call Dell, for example, and they say, yes, we can help you, but we're busy right now, we'll give you a call back in a half hour, and they call back, and they identify themselves properly, and you know who they are, then you can proceed.
Well, and they give you, that's why they give you a reference number or an incident ticket number.
Mm-hmm.
is so that you can confirm that this is a continuation of the conversation for support I had earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then one thing, if you really want to stay on the good side of the service desk that you call, especially if you have to call more than once.
Chocolates.
when they'll say, I'm going to leave this ticket open, you know, if you have a problem, call back within... You know, 3 days. And if we don't hear you from you within 3 days, we're going to close a ticket. If you want to close it early, you can send it and close it early, send a message and close it early. But, you know, make sure that you do all the testing you want to do within those 3 days because it's easier to deal with while the ticket's open rather than have to reopen the ticket.
Explain a ticket just because people may not be, what is a ticket?
It's a document. Speed? It's a document record that's keeping track of the interactions between you and that person dealing with the problem that they're having. That way they can store that as a history for reverting back to check on, to be able to track the progress, to be able to track the person's time on the help desk.
Mm.
There's a number of different things that it's there for.
Well, I hope that you folks out there have gained some insight into the help desks out there and actually how we help you as well when you call into the Internet Advisor, the times that we have a live call-in, or when you simply send us an email. And Anthony Stack, my grandson, I hope that you get a chance to pursue this kind of a career sometime in the near future.